Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Thank you. We never take for granted. We don't understand everything you're doing, but we trust you and we thank you that you be glorified and we be in awe. Thank you for those words of knowledge, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, go ahead and be seated. And I think we have a new author in the house here. Try, you want to introduce? You have the microphone here. Tell us, so that's quite an accomplishment. Come on up here, you and your daughter. Come on up. And your family. Good, bring the whole family up, because it cost all of you guys for you to write this. You had to spend a lot of time alone with the Lord, you know. Come on up here and tell us about this book and just give us a little brief information here. And
amen. Well, some of you know by our testimony about my daughter with the brain tumor. Well, we know that God is a healer and he has healed her.
Amen.
That's what we're going to believe. That's the report we're going to believe and receive. Well, in the midst of all of this, God has been using my baby for a long time, and I just thank him for what he's doing.
Amen.
She's an author.
Yeah.
And her first book is Embrace Your Ugly.
Embrace Your Ugly.
Now, that's a title for you.
That's a great title.
Embrace You're Ugly.
Praise God. I'm glad you didn't put a face on there. Talking about my face.
And I just asked God, what should I speak on, because it's my baby. It's
here,
my daughter.
Here, hold that microphone for you. Go ahead.
And he told me to go to the contents, where it says it's her story, but you got to get the book to find out what story he's talking about. And then it says my story. And then it says, understanding ugly, unique, genuine, love, you, the coach, the gift.
Amen.
So great, it's God. Just a little typic of it. And then he gave me page 12. What key point can you take away from her story? So this book is powerful.
It's interactive, yeah. Amen.
And then awesome. You can write notes and take notes and put it in there, what's applied to your life in this
Amen.
Book. It is an awesome book, and the author and I am so proud, because this is my daughter, Letitia Anderson.
Letitia.
This is my grandson, Daniel, Isaiah, Malachi, and Kevin.
Awesome.
Kevin is my son-in-law.
Son-in-law, Kevin.
But this is, I mentioned it in intercessory prayer when my daughter was having a rough day, and I said my grandson loved her. And then rebuked her with the word. He's 17. Look quiet. 16. Correct, Grandma. 16. But he is so powerful in the word that you wouldn't even know it. But I shared that because Anthony and Michelle, they're quiet, but they impact and they are powerful.
That's right, brother.
Your kids are listening.
Amen.
You might not believe it. You might not see it. But once they reveal it to you, you
Amen.
Will know that God's hand is on their lives.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But well, we want to pray over this book that you wrote. And you're going to be in the back, and you'll be glad to sign a book and speak
yeah.
to people and pray
yeah.
over people.
And ugly just means unique, genuine, love, and simply you.
Say that one more time.
Unique, genuine, love, and simply you. U-G-L-Y.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
And I went through a lot of ugly things. So when you look at this word, understand ugly means displeasing to look at. And most of us have histories that are yeah. displeasing to look at, displeasing to think about, displeasing to hear about, displeasing to even wonder what would have happened. My childhood, our childhood, our life together was ugly. But in spite of that's what
Amen.
Made us unique. That's what made us genuine. That's what made us love. And that's what made us who we are.
Amen. You know, Letitia, over there on the wall is a banner called Redeemer. These are the four banners. And when Grace Tabernacle started, these are the four emphasis that the Lord showed us. This is what I want this church to be. I want to be a healing church, a defender church, a deliverance church, and a redeemer church. So your book fits right in with our theme. God takes the bad things and turns around and makes them good. And you know, today is 8:28.
My grandma turned 97 today.
Your grandma turned 97, yeah. Well, Romans 8:28 says, because if we know him as our Redeemer, and we know all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And that book's about redemption. Praise God. Thank you for writing it. Telling your story. And we pray, let's just pray for this book that it will get in the right hand. Just stretch your hand out and just pray and believe God. God, put this book in the right hands. Get it into people's hands that are all over this world. People riding, flying in an airplane to be handed a book, or whether they be in Walmart or wherever it may go. Just get it in the right hands, the right people, the right place, and use it for your glory and to show that you're the Redeemer. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Embrace your ugly. Unique.
Genuine.
Genuine.
Love.
Love.
You.
You. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. So, welcome today, and she'll be in the back, and we'll have some book sign in there. Amen. God bless you all. That is fantastic. Writing a book's quite an accomplishment. I tell you what, we got amazing authors in this church. Barbara's written 1,000 books, and several other people here have written in books, and let's just tell you, there's just it's a good thing when you have something that God gives you. You need to give it out to as many people as possible. The power of the pen is better than just being able to speak to individuals. All right, are you ready to get into the Word of God today? Amen. Oh, new members, yes. Well, don't be ready yet. Just hold on then. Barb Crayman and Jeff, come on up here. You're the new contestants on The Price is Right. Welcome. I love your laugh. What was his laugh? It's Renee Nichols. Got the one of the funniest laughs. I love it. Renee, where are you? Oh, that's too bad. I was going to pick on her. That's all right. Anyway, you got a good laugh. That's in a good heart. Both of you do.
Thanks.
And just thank God for both of you. We just want to welcome you. Elders, come on up, and we're going to pray blessing upon them. We welcome you to our church family.
Thank you.
Want you to feel loved and encouraged. And this is going to be a time of great acceleration in your life. You're going
Amen.
To grow. You're
Amen.
Going to grow in the Lord.
Amen.
If you draw near to God, he said he'll draw near to you.
Amen.
So there's no limitation what God wants to do in your life here. And you're going to flourish here. This is a time to flourish. This is a time for you to grow. A time for great fruitfulness in your life, personally. And in every other way of your life. So we just bless you right now. Elders, you just prayed the blessing upon the Lord, the blessing of the Lord. We believe is already there upon you. But we just affirm it as well. And we just bless you. We welcome you. Church family, you just pray the blessing of the Lord upon them. Thank you, God, for sending us well-equipped people that are ready to go, ready to serve, ready to get involved. And you brought them here for such a time as this. May this be the most fruitful, accelerated season in their life. As they walk on the highway of holiness, thank you, God. We just thank you for increase, increase, increase. Blessing, blessing, blessing upon your life. We welcome you. May you feel loved, affirmed, and welcomed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We like to celebrate. God sends us people. That's a thing to celebrate. We are. Praise God. Amen. That's awesome. You're in a loving church, I tell you. Everybody here likes to hug. All right, quit being so friendly. I got to preach the word here. All right, we're on the subject of prayer. If you've been here and haven't been here, you see the words pray. We've been up on three themes this year, the word love, the word pray, and in a few weeks we'll be switching to the final theme of the year, which is praise. Praise. And I tell you, I'm like a gun that's loaded, ready to go off. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. A good dangerous thing. And I'm excited. I tell you, God's teaching me all new stuff. This is stuff I haven't preached before. This is all new to me. It's just fresh manna, fresh revelation. And I'm excited. Today I want to talk to you. We've talked about various kinds of prayer, but today I want to talk to you about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. And it's only seen one place in the Bible, in James chapter 5. The word, that phrase, the prayer of faith. One place in the Bible. We'll get into that. But I want to start in the context of Scripture. We're going to stay in the context of the Scripture here. In James chapter 5, it starts out with an admonition to the church. Is any among you suffering? And the word there can mean, suffering can mean afflicted, can mean hardship, difficulty, going through troubles. Anybody here suffering? Anybody going through affliction? Well, the Scripture says, let him, that one who's afflicted, let him pray. And it's interesting because that word pray is prosukameia. And it actually is a Greek word. It's two words together. It means to pray directly to God, you know, face God, in other words. And a form of that, one of the parts of those words, is the same word used for worship. So it's saying that when you're in difficulty, you're in trouble, that it's not saying pray to God and ask him to help you. It's saying worship God. Get your mind off of yourself. Get your mind off of your trouble and focus on him. That's really God's answer for you. God's fully aware of the situation. You don't need to give him information. He's fully aware of what you're going through. So it isn't pray, God, get me out of this. It is pray in the sense of worship. You're facing God, and you begin to see God bigger than your troubles. Amen? So this is what this is saying. This is God's answer for trouble in your life. Get into worship. Get into praising God and worshiping God and focusing on God. Magnify God and quit magnifying the problem. Amen? Okay. Now, then it goes on to say after that, is anybody here happy? Anybody merry? Let him sing psalms. And again, the emphasis is to praise God and worship God. Get your mind off of God. I just got so much to be thankful for. I'm just abounding with thanksgiving. I just want to praise you and want to thank you. And the Bible says that in Proverbs 17:22, that a merry heart does good just like medicine. Man, I mean, it can affect you physically, affect you in your mind, and set you free. When you learn how to really praise God and get your praise on and keep the praise, worshiping God, I'm not talking about hype. I'm talking about really praising God and focusing on him and just getting your mind on him. It's just healthy physically. Your body lines up. Then it steps into, now we're going to get into the prayer of faith. It says, is any among you sick? Well, obviously there were sick people in the church. He said, is there any among you sick? He says, let him call, the sick person, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We always have oil up here. In the name of, nothing magical about that oil, it's just oil. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the what of faith? The prayer of faith. This is the only place this phrase is mentioned in the Bible. The prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. Now look at the context of all this, because there's a lot packaged here. The Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man, and the word righteous there just means a believer, a born-again person, is a righteous man. Accomplishes much. There it is. The prayer of faith is mentioned right there, the only place in the Bible. And notice it says the prayer of faith will save, and the Greek word there is sozo, it will save the sick. And that word sozo means to make whole. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So we are a complicated individual, not complicated to God, but complicated for us sometimes to discern what's really going on. When there is a sickness, sometimes the sickness comes as a result of wrong thinking. Yeah. Worry and fear and depression and all those things are they're areas of the soul that need to be healed. And then sometimes there's just an affliction in the body. You get bit by a snake or an accident happens or whatever, and then it's an affliction in the physical body. But you're a three-part being because God is a three-part being, and God made you in His image, and you are a spirit who has a soul but lives right now on earth in a physical body because that's your earth suit. You have to have a body to live here on earth. And so you have three parts of you. When you're born again, your spirit is the part of you that is reborn. The Spirit of God comes down to the human spirit that is dead to the things of God, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And when you're born again, he makes a brand new creation, gives you His spirit, a born-again spirit. His spirit and your spirit merge together as one new creation that never existed before, and you're born again of the Spirit of God. That happens all in your spirit. Your soul may not even fully comprehend. Your body may not feel anything, but when a person is born again, they're a brand new creation in their spirit. Their spirit is not the old spirit with a fresh paint job. It is a brand new creation. You're a baby Christian at that moment. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, it says that when you're born again, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's like you're sealed. Your spirit is sealed. It means your spirit is made holy, is made righteous. It's made sinless. And it's forever sealed that way. Nothing can get in and contaminate the spirit part of you. Your spirit is always holy, always righteous. That's why you can talk to God anytime, even when you mess up and sin. You can still talk to God because your spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit, just like a little seal in one of them little zip-top bags or a seal on a mason jar. Nothing can get inside your spirit and contaminate it. Your spirit, no sin can contaminate your spirit part. Your spirit is forever sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. And it's kept righteous. But your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, has to be renewed. It didn't get saved. It's being saved. As you renew your mind to start thinking the way God thinks with the Word of God. That's why the Bible commands you. After you're born again, you got to renew this computer because it still thinks the old way. And that's the devil's foothold. If he can keep you thinking the old way after you've been born again, you'll get confused. Well, if I'm born again, how come I still do this and do that? Well, it's because your mind hasn't been renewed yet. So you got to renew your mind. But then your body has also had a mind of its own too. Your body has been the boss of your life too long. Your body has told you what to do, and you've done whatever it said. But now you have reversed the order. You're not a body, soul, and spirit. You are a spirit and a soul and a body. A spirit who has a soul and has a body. And your soul and spirit are now working for your soul and your body are now working for your spirit, your born-again spirit. And that's the process, as long as we're here, called sanctification, that we're working on. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You don't work for salvation. You work out what God has put in you in the Spirit. Now you work it out like exercise. You go work out. You work it out in your mind, getting your mind transformed, renewed with the Word of God, and getting your body to obey and get disciplined. That's why fasting is important. Fasting is a discipline. It's an act of worship to God. When you're denying the body food for spiritual purpose, you're cutting it off and saying, you're not the boss anymore. King stomach, you're no longer the boss of me. That's another whole thing. But I want to get into this part now because I want you to see that we are a spirit, born-again spirit, once we're born again, who has a soul, who lives in a body. So even the subject of healing gets very complicated for us, but it's not complicated for God. And notice that he says that the prayer of faith will sozo, will save the sick. In other words, it'll bring things in alignment. Your spirit man should be dominant and the strongest part of you. And then your soul should serve the spirit, your mind, will, and emotions, and then your body should serve as the number three man. That's the way it's supposed to be. So the prayer of faith will bring into alignment spirit, soul, and body. And if you listen to most people's language when they mention spirit, soul, and body, they usually say body, soul, and spirit. Because they've been trained like the world. They live by what they see. What do you see? You see the body, so you say that first. Well, the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says spirit, soul, and body. And the order is important. Because your spirit is supposed to be the dominant one of your life. Are you with me so far? Now, immediately, right after, this is mentioned that the elders can pray the prayer of faith over someone. And we'll save the sick. It immediately, a couple verses down, goes into an example. Now God's going to give us an example from his word. And he goes to the Old Testament and mentions a man that most of us would attribute miracles to. And there were a lot of miracles in this man's life. But there's a reason why God mentions, he puts the prayer of faith. And then he gives an example from the Old Testament, somebody that everybody would know, a man named Elijah. In verse 17, notice what the scripture says. It says, now Elijah was a man subject to natural passions just like us. Are you with me? And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky rained, and the sky gained rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. So we know that story. Everybody at that time, in the time of James, would have known about Elijah. And you know about Elijah. And we attribute him as a man of miracles. Man, I'd like to be like Elijah. Man, he raised a little child from the dead. He had miracles of provision of oil to a little widow lady. He prayed that it not rain. And he also went up with Mount Carmel and called down the fire from heaven. And I mean, this is a miracle guy. But the scripture is trying to tell us something. Now, hold on. Yes, no doubt there was a lot of miracles in the life of Elijah. But notice this. He was a man just like you and me. He wasn't like up here. He wasn't like, whoa, he's a miracle man. Woo, let's honor him. No, he's just like us. He had some issues. He dealt with a lot of the personal depression. And sometimes if you'd have seen him, you'd have said, man, what a whiny hiney. What a baby. So he was like us. So we don't need to exalt him in that regard. So of all the miracles that Elijah did, and we're talking about the prayer of faith, God is trying to get the church to realize this is available to you. The same power that Elijah had is available to you. He is no different from anybody here. If you're a believer, you're a righteous man, and you have the same capacity and you have the same power available to you, but you got to do what Elijah did. Amen. If you want to see those kind of things happen. And here is the secret. You want to know the secret of Elijah's miracle power? It's in one verse of Scripture. 1 Kings 18:18. Look at what he says. His own words says, Lord, let it be known that I'm your servant. And I have done all these things at your word. Did you get that? What was the key? What was the miracle power that Elijah discovered? When God says something, you believe it and you do it. That's it. Oh, come on, Elijah. Isn't there more to it than that? No, no. When God speaks to you, you do what he tells you to do, even if you don't understand it. Even when you don't know the outcome of how it's all going to turn out, you just do it.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Yep. What was Elijah's key? Hearing God. Let me ask you, can you hear God? When God talks to you, can you hear him? Can you hear him in his word? Can you hear? Do you recognize the Holy Spirit's talking to you? Then you have the same. In fact, your ability is actually better because you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. He didn't have that. And you know the story. So in the prayer of faith in James chapter 5, God lifts out of the Old Testament and brings to the forward front an example of a man of miracles, Elijah. And he said, this is what he did. He learned how to pray the prayer of faith. And you can do it too. Because he's just like you. He's a human being. He wasn't anybody special. Well, you know what happened. And it takes more time than for me to tell you all the details. You can read it in 1 Kings 18. Today would be a great thing to do. Sit down and read 1 Kings 18 and read the account of Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God to Israel, and at that time there was a wicked king of Israel called Ahab, and he was married to a wicked woman called Jezebel. You've heard of them. And they had, instead of leading Israel back to God, they led Israel away from God. You know, leaders can do that. Government leaders can either lead people to God or they can lead them away from God. And God sent a prophet to confront the king. And he told Elijah to go talk to the king and tell him what he's doing is wrong. And the king just didn't have any regard for God, didn't have any regard for Elijah, and thought he was just a religious nut. And then Elijah says this, well, I want to tell you before I leave, king, I got a word from the Lord for you. It's not going to rain for 3.5 years until I come back and say it's going to rain. And he turned around and walked out. And Ahab said, yeah, right. Get out of here, you kook. Well, 6 months goes by and it ain't rained. And a year goes by. The crops are dying. And all the ponds and the springs and the water's drying up. And you're dependent, you have to have water. Year two goes by, it's worse. The king's advisor comes to him, hey, what do we do? He said, well, let's just go out and scout out and look around for some water. We'll find some water and we'll make it work. He's stubborn. He kept on. Third year goes by, no water. Now the king's getting nervous because everybody's upset. We have to have water. Our crops are dying. The cattle is dying. We're starving. And on top of the drought, a famine took place. No crop, no food. Walmart shut down. Public shut down. There was nothing. And people are getting desperate and nervous, and they're complaining about the government and complaining to the king. And finally, the king says, go find that religious nut that came to me 3 years ago named Elijah. I want to talk to him. He's got something to do with this. And the Lord spoke to Elijah and said, I want you to go meet King Ahab at a certain road at a certain time in a certain place. And sure enough, Elijah went out and there was the king. They had a personal one-on-one meeting. And when the king came up to Elijah, he says, oh, there you are. Are you the troubler of Israel? You're the one that's caused all this trouble? And Elijah shot back, I'm not the one that troubles Israel. You did, because you've forsaken the Lord. And you've led Israel into idolatry and to forsake the Lord. You're the cause of all this trouble. Elijah didn't back down. And the king, I don't know, it doesn't record a whole bunch about what he had to say. Elijah took charge of the conversation. He said, I tell you what, you get your prophets of Baal, who you say is God, and the 450 prophets that are Asherah prophets that sit at Jezebel's table every day, and you guys meet me on Mount Carmel on a certain day at a certain time and bring two bulls with you because they're going to be sacrifices, and we'll finally settle this issue on who is God. As far as we know, the king never said a word. He just said, yes, sir. Elijah had authority because he had a word from God. So the short of the story is they meet on Mount Carmel. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah. And they brought two bulls, and all the people heard about this. So this is the big, big news on Fox News and CNN. It was all over the place. Everybody showed up in land because, wow, it's going to be a showdown. And Elijah's there, and he took charge when everybody came up there and said, okay, all you prophets of Baal and all you prophets of Asherah, here's your bullock. You take him, cut him up. Here's wood, make an altar, and you call up, put this bull on this altar, and you call upon your God you say is real, and call upon him to bring down fire and consume the sacrifice. I'll let you guys go first. And then when you're done, I'll put my bullock on my altar, and I'll call upon my God. And the God who answers by fire, he's God. And by the way, all of you people standing around watching, why are you hanging between two opinions? You've been raised better than this. If God is God and the Lord is Lord, then serve him. If you think it's Baal, then just go on serve him. But get off the fence. And so prophets of Baal and Asherah, they went first, and they cut up that bullock, and they set up that altar, and they start doing all their little incantations, you know. Or whatever, and they did all their little stuff, and it went on till noon, and then it went on till the evening sacrifice, and everybody all worn out, and all the crowd's going, oh, man, nothing going on here. And Elijah made fun of them. Maybe you need to speak a little louder. He doesn't have his hearing aids on. I mean, he's mocking them. Or maybe he's on vacation. I mean, he mocked them. And finally, when it was appearing that nothing was going to happen, they just wearing themselves out. He said, okay, it's my turn. Get this mess out of here. To clean that up, set up an altar of God. Cut up the bullock. It sits there on the altar. And then he prayed a simple prayer of faith. You want to know what it is? Why halt ye between two opinions? I'm asking you a question. Yes, Pastor, teach us. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1 Kings 18, verse 38. Lord, let it be known that I'm your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. I'm saying, I didn't come up with this. This wasn't my idea. I have heard the word of the Lord. Hear me, O Lord, so that these people may know that you are Lord. He wasn't exalting himself, you see. That you be exalted, God. And then, fire fell and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, even licked up the water in the trench. And I forgot to tell you, they poured a bunch of water over that one. And the people saw it, and they fell on their faces. The Lord, he is God. It's not Baal. Oh, God, have mercy on us. God, we see you're real. You're true. You're the real God. Oh, God. And they fell on their faces in surrender, which is an act of worship. That's prayer of faith. It's not you getting bold and mustering up courage and waxing eloquent with words, putting on a big show. It's a person who prays the prayer of faith who's heard God.
Yeah.
What did God say? Because Elijah confessed, everything I do, I'm doing because I heard you, God. I'm doing at your word. I'm stepping out. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. I trust you, God. I'm just simply taking a big risk and stepping out here and doing what you've told me to do. I believe I've heard you, and I'm stepping out in it. It's just like a moment ago, Barbara got up and said, I believe I have a word of knowledge. And without knowing what's going to happen, you don't know if anybody's going to stand up and say, you're a kook. Or nobody's going to respond. It doesn't matter. It's too late for that. You hear God and you step out. Is it risky? Sure, because you don't know the outcome. Or if you think you know the outcome, it may not turn out like you think. But you step out and do it. You step out and do what you've heard God tell you to do. So the scripture says to the church, is there any sick among you? Obvious answer?
Yes.
Thank you. Why are people sick? I give you just some reasons. Some break natural laws. You have to sleep, or your body will break down. You have to eat. You have to drink water. Your body will break down. Natural laws. That's the way God made all of us. Are you with me? You're not made to work 7 days a week. Read the owner's manual. Change your oil. Keep air in the tires. Follow the directions. Some because of demonic attack. Acts 10:38 says Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So healing and oppression of the devil. Some people, when they're sick in body, it's a demonic attack. Amen. Some are sick just because they haven't received healing. I mean, in communion, do you realize that communion is meant to give you a resource of healing in your body? When you partake of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can receive healing through communion without anybody praying for you, without anybody laying hands on you. Do you know that? And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, because people were not properly discerning the Lord's body, talking about communion, he said, because of that, there are many of you believers who are sick, and many are dying prematurely because they're just not discerning the Lord's body. They're not receiving the benefit that communion is there to offer. They're not receiving it properly. They're making it a ritual, but they're not receiving the benefit of the healing that's right there. Amen. It is good. Thank you, God. Praise God. Amen myself. Amen. But very important, we're not qualified to judge anybody. Because remember, there's different variables. I don't know what's going on in a person's soul. I don't know if they're breaking natural laws. There's just things I don't know. So I can't judge anybody. When somebody comes to me and says, I'm sick, I'd like to be prayed for, or whatever, that's a good thing. Now, you got to realize, when James chapter 5 was written, when the Holy Spirit inspired James to write, is any among you sick? There were doctors back then. There were doctors. People went to doctors. I'm not against doctors. I go to doctors. I take medication. Is any among you sick? Yes. And the Holy Spirit did not tell him, we'll call a doctor. He told the first, if you're a believer, first of all, then call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now notice, the sick person was the first one who was to initiate any action. The sick person had to have the faith to believe Well, I'm sick. What should I do? I need to call for the elders of the church to pray for me. So the sick person is to initiate this. It isn't if the pastor gives an altar call for healing or anything like that. The sick person is to initiate it. If you're sick, you're supposed to call for the elders of the church. You're exercising your faith. So when the prayer of faith, God says the prayer of faith will save the sick, whose faith is it? The elders or the sick person when God saves the sick? It could be both. The sick person initiated it by calling the elders, and they had to hear from God, or they need to hear from God, that God's saying, this is what I want you to do. And then the elders, when they pray, they need to be hearing from God. Amen. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen. So it's both, exercising faith. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if, and here's where the discernment of the Spirit comes in, because it could be as a result of something going on in somebody's life, a bitter relationship or whatever, that this person is actually suffering physically or not being able to sleep at night or whatever because of unforgiveness or bitterness in their life or whatever. And the elders are the spiritually mature ones who are to discern with the hearing of the Lord, like, what's this all about, God? How shall we pray? Sometimes it's a very natural solution. Sometimes it's not like, oh, we're going to make this miracle prayer happen. No, sometimes it's just a very natural thing. Like, you know, you need to reconcile with your husband. Or you need to go apologize to your wife. You need to quit holding on to unforgiveness. You need to forgive them. And as the person obeys what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, they get healed. So it could be a very natural thing. A very natural thing. So why are people sick? Let's go back to that for a moment. Some break natural laws, some because of demonic attack, and some because they're not receiving. So we don't judge anybody. What's the first thing you should do if you're sick? No. Seek God. Seek God. There was another king in the Bible named Hezekiah. He was a godly king. And he got an infection in his body. And God sent prophet Isaiah to him to tell him to get his house in order because he's going to die. And Hezekiah was a godly man. He was seeking God. And so a prophet, Isaiah, goes to Hezekiah and he says, the Lord says, get your house in order because it's your time. You're going to die. And he turned around and walked out. And Isaiah records that Hezekiah says, the scripture says, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he wept and he cried out to God. In other words, he got focused on God. He shut out everybody else's voice. He's heard a word from God. He turned his face toward the wall to block out everybody else and everything, and he sought God. What's the first thing a person should do who is sick? Seek, thank you. Seek God. God, what do you want me to do? And before Isaiah got out of the palace, the Spirit of the Lord said to him, go back and tell Hezekiah I'm going to give him 15 more years. So Isaiah comes back around and says, King, I don't know what happened, but the Spirit of the Lord just told me that you're not going to die, and you got 15 more years, so get on with whatever you're supposed to be doing. And he lived 15 more years. He's the only man in the Bible that knew the exact day he was going to die. 15 more years, you're checking out. So God gave him 15 more years. He turned his face to the wall. He focused on seeking God. What's the next thing you should do? Do what God's word tells you to do. Go to the word. Go to the scriptures. James 5, 14, 16 tells you right here, if you're sick, okay, you're reading the word of God. You're talking to God about this, then call for the elders of the church. Let them pray the prayer of faith over you. The prayer of faith is not, oh God, please heal them. The prayer of faith is not a begging prayer. The prayer of faith is a commanding prayer because you've heard from God what to say. Like Elijah, you didn't come up with this on your own. Meet me at Mount Carmel, the OK Corral, and we're going to have a showdown. He didn't come with that upon his own. If he did, he'd fallen flat on his face. He heard from God. Everything Elijah did, he did because he heard a word from God. You have the Holy Spirit. Those of you born again have the Holy Spirit inside you so you can hear what God is saying to you. He may give you a very natural thing to do. That's why you first go to God before you come to the elders of the church. God, what do you want me to do? Do you know how God healed Hezekiah? He had some kind of infection. And God told Isaiah to make what's called a poultice. I don't know what that is, but some kind of concoction of a cake or something, paste, and put it on some kind of boil that was causing infection in his life. He put a natural thing and put it on him, and he was healed. I mean, see, God is very practical. It may be a very natural thing he tells you to do, like stop drinking so much coffee. Quit eating late at night. Elevate your... I mean, God's very practical God. Very practical. He may say, stop that. Or do this. Drink more water. You're dehydrated. It could be a very natural thing, and that's healing. Are you with me? So this prayer of faith comes because you've heard God and you know that God has told you to say this or do this. And Jesus, the Bible says, he only did what he saw the Father doing. And he later on says he only said what he heard from the Father. So Jesus is the one who used the prayer of faith more than anybody in the Bible. And when you see Jesus pray the prayer of faith, it's so different from what you see in the church today where we're begging God to heal some boy, begging God to do something. Prayer of faith is not like that. Jesus never prayed that way. Here's just a partial list of some of the ways Jesus prayed the prayer of faith. It didn't even sound like a prayer. Last week, I've mentioned one of these. Jesus said to the fig tree, no one's going to ever eat a fruit of you again. Prayer of faith. Prayer is words. Faith is hearing God. It is words from hearing God, and you speak it and you release it, turn around, walk away. The leper was healed, Luke chapter 5. Lord, if you will, you can heal me. I am willing. Be healed. And he touched him, he hugged him. Lazarus, come forth. Prayer of faith. Lazarus, you stinketh, go backeth. Whew. Take them stinking grave clothes off of him. To the storm, be still. Prayer of faith. Are you seeing the difference? Woman with the issue of blood. Woman, your faith has made you whole. Go. Sometimes never laying a hand on a person. Blind man, come here. Took him out of the city. Mud, put on his eyes. Now open up. How are you? How's your sight? Well, I'm seeing, but I see men as trees. Come here. Be healed. The point is, there's no formula. Everybody was different. Crippled man, rise up, pick up your bed, you're not coming back here, and walk. Commanding, instantaneous, miraculous. And God said, Elijah's He's a man just like all of you. He had issues. He had trouble. But God used him. Why? What was the key? Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. What is God saying? That's all you need to hear. The prayer of faith is a verbal command of one's faith. I've heard from God. This is what he said. Boom. It's no different from Barbara. Really, she just demonstrated. Word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is I don't have all knowledge. I have a word. I speak it. If that's you, take it. Grab it. Claim it. Believe it. Don't sit there and try to understand it and analyze it. Your understanding is getting in your way. Amen. And that hesitation is simply because of that. Amen. One quick story. I remember watching an interview years ago on television with E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill was a great preacher. One of my favorite preachers. And excuse me for a second. Nobody can preach like a black man. I tell you that. I'm telling you, E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill. Oh, man, he's something else. He's something else. And they had on the interview that night, they had E.V. Hill, who was a Baptist. And then we had Benny Hinn, who's not a Baptist. This is years ago. And it was funny because when they started talking to E.V. Hill, E.V. Hill said, I got something to say. I said, okay. He said, he looked over at Benny Hinn. He said, when I first saw you on TV, I didn't like you. Blowing on people. Throwing your coat on people, waving your hand, people falling down. I didn't believe any of that stuff. I didn't like you. And I didn't want to ever be around you. And over a period of time, I kept watching you on TV. And one day I was watching you on TV and here you are blowing on people, waving your hand and throwing your coat, doing all that stuff I thought was crazy. And I said, God, there's so many people that report miracles happen and instant healing. There's got to be something to this. They can't all be crazy. Why are you doing miracles and stuff through this man? And he said, instantaneously, I heard the voice of the Lord in my heart say, because Benny Hinn doesn't hesitate when I tell him to do something. But you hesitate. And he said, I started weeping. I got down on my knees and I asked God to forgive me for judging something I had no ability to be able to judge. And I asked God to forgive me. And I swore if I ever saw you in person, I'd tell you this story and ask you to forgive me. And they did. And it was a beautiful reconciliation right there on television. Everybody got to see. I never forgot that. I thought, wow. How many people have I looked at over the years that have done some really wild and crazy things and said, oh, man, they're just on crack or something. I don't know. They're just crazy. But God was using them. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Do I understand the prayer of faith? Absolutely not. But I don't want my understanding to keep me from it. So, now's demonstration time. Ask God for demonstration. Not for show, not a circus. People need to see a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Paul said this. He said, I pray, and it's on this pulpit, by the way. You can come up here and look at it. It's on a scripture that we put up here from the beginning. Paul said, my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but is the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Amen. That the faith of those I preach to should not stand on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. That's a reminder. So now we need to demonstrate. And we demonstrate by hearing God. Hearing God. I want the elders to come up. And I'd like for those who I've asked to come up to work as prayer altar folks to come up. Come on up. No, come on. Right now. 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 Yeah. And I have oil up here if the Lord leads you to do that. And you can have, in fact, just combine, let's just put some oil on your fingers. Joe, just put some oil on everybody's hands there. They're on the altar here praying. Just a little bit of oil. A little dab will do you. And we're going to do what James chapter 5 says. And if there's any sick among you, you need to hear God. Does God want you? Does God want you? Is he talking to you about, I want prayer. I want this healing prayer. I'm going to believe. God's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. You believe God's speaking to you? Amen. Then hold on. So let them get in place. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, women with women, men with men. That's the preference. God's speaking to you right now. Just listen. Ask God. God, am I to go up for healing prayer? And believe, because I'm hearing you tell me to do it. Just ask God. Now, elders, you need to, before you start praying, you need to listen. Be listening to God. Maybe he's already told you that so-and-so is going to come up to you, or a person of this is going to come up to you. Just believe. Do what God tells you to do. That's just as simple as that. If Elijah was here today, we'd all be oohing and aahing, just a chance to shake his hand or ask him to pray for us. But he's no different from you and me. One greater than Elijah is here today. Jesus. Holy Spirit. And he's in believers. Now let me ask you, would you rather have the Holy Spirit of Jesus pray for you? Or rather have Elijah pray for you? Well, it was one same spirit, I realize, but in the flesh, I'd rather have Jesus. Good. It's not a circus, not a big fanfare. Now listen, remember folks, the prayer of faith, if God gives you a word to speak, is a commanding prayer. It's a commanding prayer. It's not a begging God to do something prayer. And it'd be a good idea, Richard, could we have a few ushers come up and just be behind a few folks? Sometimes people fall out under the power of God. I'm not suggesting this. I'm not trying to make it happen. But some of you ushers, men, would you come up? I know we weren't planning this, but just come up and be available to. Thank you, gentlemen. They know how to properly, help somebody if they fall. So you don't have to be afraid. Amen. Amen. Whew. It's hot up here. Or is it just me? Quick prayer, not a long prayer. Quick. Just say what God told you to say, and that's it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just say it. Speak it. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. Be delivered. If it's a demonic affliction, we rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Command him to leave. Command every demonic spirit of affliction and torment to leave, 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 leave. Go, 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 go now in the name of Jesus. Any spirit of fear, go, go, go. Now. Thank you, God. Thank you. You can go to the communion table and receive healing. No one needs to pray this over you. You can receive healing right there in communion. Go up to the communion table if you need healing. God directs you. That's what you do. That's what you do. Just obey God. Just obey God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Jesus said 16 times in the Bible, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And then he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then the last eight times, he said, to hear what the Spirit is saying. Because he went to the Father. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank you, God. All right. And if there is an instantaneous, obvious miracle, I want to know about it so we can just celebrate. If there's an instantaneous, obvious miracle, let it be known. Let it be known. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and go to your table so that people can get a chance to meet you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. I think this is what God intended for his church to do. It'd be an interactive thing. And it's not a circus, not a show. It's compassion in action. It's believers laying hands on the sick and they will recover. Thank you, God. Healing, healing, healing. Thank you, God. Healing's to be part of the church's ministry. That's part of our ministry. Preach the gospel, number one. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. All those three things. You should see that evidence in your church. You should see that happening. Praise God. Well, I want to pray for you and dismiss while those of folks up here are praying for folks. We want to keep this area quiet. I want to ask you if you'll keep this front area. Ushers, if you'll help people that are being ministered to be ministered to, and we'll dismiss, and the rest of you can go eat lunch or do whatever you need to do. Would you stand with me right now? I want to pray for you. God, thank you for the body of Grace Tabernacle. What an awesome family. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your church. Now, Father, I pray your blessing would increase in everyone's life here, that they would increase by hearing the voice of your Spirit, especially from your word, and believe your word. Thank you, God. May your blessing go now upon the people. May it be obvious that they carry the favor and the blessing of the Lord in everything they do. Would you make them prosper? Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're dismissed. Come back Wednesday night. We're doing some great teaching about the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen.